So very much, Gabrielle. Appreciate your investment for us. Thank you, ladies. Wonderful song tonight. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter number 10. 2 Samuel chapter number 10. These Old Testament stories have been given for our learning. And again, want to just review just a little bit, because we have been in some tremendous territory here in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 7 is the wonderful Davidic covenant. And God was directing David and his children after him. And we find tremendous truth there in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 8 has wonderful truth related to a man that is following God and directing the nation of Israel in an unbelievable way. I believe that the nation experienced the blessings of God, and as their leader was in wonderful communion with God, the nation was blessed. I am mindful that families can have this kind of blessing. I am mindful that churches can have this kind of blessing. I believe that if we are in tune with what the Lord has for us and we will walk obediently in His path, that we can experience much the same things as David did, albeit it's not on the physical battlefield. But you see just wonderful things there in David's life and him being in tune with the Lord and overcoming the adversaries and having victory after victory. And you see that God is with David whithersoever he went. Then we come to chapter 9, and what a wonderful chapter there as we consider the grace and the mercy that was extended from David and the covenant that he had made with Jonathan years before this. And he honored that covenant and sought to take care of Mephibosheth. We come now into a story in chapter 10, and we will look at this whole story tonight. We'll go all the way through this chapter. Each of these chapters seem to have stories, like one story that's kind of contained in each of these chapters, and so it's easy for us to walk through these things. But I want you to look at the opening verse, and then we'll go a little bit further here in just a few moments. The Bible says, 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse number 1, "And it came to pass after this, that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon." Let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord's direction in the message tonight. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to speak before these folks. We thank you for the many that are gathered here on campus and those that are watching online. I pray that each heart and life would be open and receptive to what you have for us from this story. There are critical truths for each life this evening, and so I pray that we would be receptive and attentive and consider our own needs, the needs of the hour. And I pray that we'd walk in the path much as David did. And as we see what transpired here in the chapter, Lord, direct us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 1 gives to us general circumstances in life. Verse number 1 gives to us general circumstances in life. Again, chapter 7, the Davidic covenant, wonderful truth there. Chapter 8, David is in line with God, great blessings upon the nation of Israel. Chapter 9, as God gave David rest, he looked around and surveyed ways that he might be a blessing to other people. And that should be the case for all of us, looking for ways that we can be a blessing to other people. Chapter 10 deals with a common theme. A friend passes away. Again, let's read it here. The king of the children of Ammon died, His son begins to reign, the Bible says, verse number 1. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. David's been reflecting on the goodness of God throughout these previous chapters. David has been blessed by the covenant that God made with him. David has been blessed as he has been victorious over all these enemies of the nation of Israel. We look back to the book of Joshua, the book of Judges, and we see how many times that these enemies just proved to the nation of Israel to be thorns in their side. And David finally comes to this point and he says, you know what? A friend of mine has died. This is a common occurrence. No doubt you would look back at your life and you'd say, so-and-so passed away. In my early years in the academy, we had, I believe it was a 16-year-old young man. His name was Andre. And I don't remember all of the circumstances. I'd have to look back at some of the statements and things like that to really recall it specifically. But we had a young man in the academy in his mid-teen years that passed away with a health need in the middle of the school year. And they recognized him in the yearbook. They recognized him at graduation and everything like that. And he had passed away, and I remember that quite well. We had another young lady that was a couple of years older than me. She actually graduated the year before me. And her mom, a dear friend of our family's, her mom contracted cancer. And in this young lady's senior high years, the mother contracted cancer and passed away. And I remember that setting very well. The husband and wife were very close to my parents. And I remember Miss Nancy going home to be with the Lord. I remember my granddad passing away. It was 1988, I believe, that he went home to be with the Lord. And I, 1987, 1988, I'd have to look back to that as well. I'm getting on in years. My granddad passed away. And that was kind of the first one that was close in connection to me. And I remember I felt like I was strong and I was prepared for his passing. My granddad had dealt with dementia for many years, and so we had his physical presence with us for a number of Christmases and a number of Thanksgivings, but he was not really aware of what was going on around him, and while he was still physically capable of participating in things, he did not know much of that which was happening in the moment. And I remember going by his casket there in the funeral home here in Fairfax, and I remember when he passed away, and boy, that was the first time that I really recall a really hard cry, if you would. That was the closest individual. We'd had these others that had passed away, connections, friends, young people, older folks, tragic health needs, cancerous issues, but this was my granddad, and he went home to be with the Lord. And I remember seeing him there when he had passed away, and I thought, now this one has really impacted my life and heart. From that time till today, as a pastor, as a youth pastor, there have been many more of those occasions. From the standpoint of being with family members as a loved one passes away, to being there all by myself and watching someone go home to be with the Lord. Sometimes we've arrived at the house and the nature of the ambulance service and everything has not yet arrived, and so we've watched family members that have gone home to be with the Lord. There's one lady there in East Tennessee. Her name was Miss Connie, and she dealt with so many different physical issues. It's impossible for me to correctly convey in word all that she dealt with physically. But I remember her homegoing, and I received a phone call from her dear husband, and he said, Pastor, can you come over? My wife has passed. And I remember getting there and being there as they came to be able to care for her. You know, this is a common, if you would, event. If you have not had a close family member or friend pass away, it's probably around the corner. This is the nature of life. The Bible says that we are all going to live someplace for eternity. Say, Pastor, that's kind of a hard way to begin a message. Well, this is the nature of what has transpired since the time of Adam's choice. The Bible says that Adam chose to disobey God, and because of that choice, death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You may have been through that tragic loss. You may have been through that difficult passing. As I think tonight, word comes to David and he says, you know what? My friend passed away. And you know what? I want to show kindness to my friend's son, to the kingdom of my friend, and I'm going to send my servants in such a way to this kingdom that they will acknowledge this dear one's passing and they'll demonstrate the importance of that loved one or that friendship to me. That's what we find in verses 1 and 2. Very common. This happens with great regularity. The circumstances of life. Tonight we recognize that there are physical circumstances. There are emotional circumstances. There are financial circumstances. But we all face these kinds of circumstances in life. If I were to pass out a blank piece of paper and I just had you start to write down everything that you may be dealing with tonight, perhaps some would run out of paper very quickly. This is a common experience for all of us. And David said, you know what? I want to demonstrate kindness. Well, what happens? Look at verse number 3. The circumstances in life, verse number 1, lead to counsel. The circumstances of life lead to counsel. Look at verse number 3. We see David's intentions. He wants to be a blessing to the son, wants to be a blessing to the kingdom, wants to give honor to the one that has passed away. Verse number 3, though, here are the circumstances of life that lead to counsel. Verse number 3, and the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Whoa. This is a total difference in viewpoint. From verses 1 and 2, circumstances of life, we all go through physical things, we all go through emotional things, we go through financial things, we go through the passing of loved ones and friends. To this response, here's the response. Hey, something's up. Something's up. You ever think that someone calls you with ulterior motives? Boy, it's happening all the time right now. It happened to me Thursday, Brother Bradford came by my office, my door was open, but I was on the phone and I had my cell phone sitting on the desk, and I motioned to Brother Bradford to come into the office and just listen to this. Then I ran it by Abel. I was back and forth on Thursday morning and almost falling for a scam. It was a good scam. Until Abel said, oh yeah, that's easy. I could go in and do that in my office in no time at all. And I said, well, Abel, please be my friend. Don't do this to me. Somebody on Thursday morning calls me from the Customs and Border Patrol. And I was like, okay. He let me know it was a recorded line. Boy, if it's a recorded line, you know it's for real. They're recording it. And he said, my name is Richard Cooper. I thought it was a little bit odd because he had an accent. So I know a lot of Richard Coopers. I don't know many of them that have that flavor of an accent, but I was like, okay. He's like, my badge number is such and such, and here's the case number. And I was like, okay, case number, okay. And I said to him, I said, well, what's this about? He said, well, we have confiscated numerous packages at the border with your name on it. And I said, really? And he said, here's the address that are on all the packages. And then he gave my address. And I was like, wow, that man, this guy has my address, and he has a badge number, and he has a case number. This is, you know, pretty serious. And then I was like, I'm just not so sure about this. And so he said to me that these boxes that were confiscated were full of illegal drugs. And I just laughed out loud. And he said, sir, why are you laughing? This is a very serious matter. I said, well, I'm laughing because if they're full of drugs, I said, I'm a pastor, probably doesn't go hand in hand with my staying in the pastorate. Something to that effect. And he's like, sir, this is very serious. And then he reiterated this. This is serious. This is a recorded line. And then I said to him, I said, you know, I've got a lot of friends that work in the federal government and a lot of friends that are in law enforcement in the federal government. I said, I'm not so sure about what you're telling me right now. And there were a couple things that he said that kind of gave a tip off, and I'm like, that doesn't measure up. And I began to text one of our former congregants that I know is down in that area, and I said, I sent him a text, and I said, hey, is this on the up and up? Is this legit? And so I'm texting him. Well, he was out on a run at the time, so he couldn't respond to me. And so I thought to myself, I said, okay, I'm not so sure this is legit. He said, okay, I tell you what. Look up this website. He said, CBP, Houston, Texas. I said, okay, I looked up CBP, Houston, Texas. And this is where he almost, I'm telling you, it's a recorded line. This is serious. He said, you see the phone number for CBP in the local place there in Houston? He said, I'm going to call you right now from that number. You know what? He did. The number on the screen is now on my phone. And I'm like, man, now this is really legit. He's got a badge number. He's got a case number. He's calling me from the number on this thing. This is legit. And then we get to it. Okay, so what's the point of this? He begins to tell me that there are a lot of assets under my name in multiple bank accounts. This is a recorded line. Do not give your social security number. Do not give any bank account numbers. But he's like, this is a recorded line. And he says to me, he says, I need to know where your bank accounts are so that when we freeze all these other accounts in your name, we don't actually freeze your accounts. Aha! And he hung up. I'm thinking at this point, this guy's not legitimate. And so I called my friend, one of our former congregants, and I called him instead of texting him, and he said, hey, thanks for the call. It got me out of a run. And I said, well, I said, I just had a phone call. And he said, when I get back to the house, I will search the name that you gave me. And he got back to the house, searched the entire network of individuals that would be serving in federal law enforcement. And he said, there's one person with that name in all of federal law enforcement. And he gave the area in which they serve. And I'm like, that doesn't measure up. And then he told me this. He said, and by the way, our badge numbers don't mean anything, but to tell you that that badge belongs to the federal government. I'm like, okay. And then he said, and we don't have case numbers where we call you. He said, if they were packages that are coming to you, we would have just come to your house when the package arrived, and we would have dealt with it then. Ha ha! I'm now clued in. This guy did not have good intentions. So let that be a lesson to you kids. Just because it's a recorded line does not make it serious, all right? Say, okay, Pastor, what's the point of that? Well, for a few seconds in that, I'm like, man, recorded line, badge number, case number, this is legit. Until I started doing a little bit of research and I find out this is not legit. And they might call 1,000 people that day, and boy, all they need to do is get one because they've got wrong motivations and they want to bring harm to individuals they want to steal. They have, listen to this, ulterior motives. Someone gets in the ear of this new king and says, you see this entourage from David's kingdom and all their flowers and all the honor that's being brought on us because of your dad's passing? It's nothing but a ruse so that David can scope out your power, your might, And in this circumstance, he wants to overwhelm you, overwhelm the kingdom. And here's what happens. The circumstances of life lead to counsel. Now, let me give you different types of counsel. Number one, there is poor counsel. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 15 and verse number 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Every single one of us are listening at some way, in some way, shape, or form, to counselors that are helping us with the normal issues of life. What do you think I should do here? What do you think I should do with this? What do you think I should do with this? So take all those choices in life, and you think with me for a moment about who you're seeking counsel from. Right now, young people will be deciding where they're going to go to college, okay? Who am I going to seek counsel from on where I'm going to go to college? Perhaps there are some young adults that are thinking right now, I'd like to get married. And they're thinking about that individual that they're going to get married to, and they're deciding who they're going to go to for counsel as to whether or not this person is the type of person that they should marry. Perhaps there are some tonight, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm tired of the price of gasoline, and I'm going to buy an electric car tomorrow. And so you're trying to get as much counsel as you can on an electric automobile. Perhaps there are some tonight that are thinking about changing their career. And you thought all these years, you know, it would sure be nice to be my own boss and to just start driving an 18-wheeler. Perhaps there's some tonight that are thinking to themselves, I'm going to throw off the shackles of everyday society. I'm going to move to Idaho. And I'm going to work at the IGA. And I'm never going to look at people ever again. You've got all these kinds of things that are in the arena. All these kinds of matters that are in the arena. And every single one of us, when we have these things, these issues of life, we then seek out a type of counsel. Tragically, more often than not, people get poor counsel. There is poor counsel. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. There is a second kind of counsel. There is a counsel that was once trusted, but is no longer available. I've watched this with ministerial type people. Through the years of being in the ministry for this amount of time, I've had friendships. I've had people that have been counselors. And I can think of specific issues where a pastor, an assistant pastor, would go and get counsel in this direction, this direction, this direction. And they did well when they were getting counsel from there. But a time came where something helped them or directed them to change their area of counsel, and so they began getting counsel from someplace else. Boy, there are all kinds of counsel on the spectrum. It may be tonight that you've been listening to poor counsel. It may be tonight that you've had counsel that was once good, but now it's very suspect. And you're not sure if you can continue to trust that. You've been watching their life. You've been watching their decisions. And so you've come to the understanding, you know what? I'm not sure I can seek their counsel any longer. There's poor counsel. There's counsel that was once trusted but is now no longer available. And then number three, there is a trusted counsel. Where can I go to find trusted counsel? Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Listening to individuals that have good, godly counsel is always wise. Pastor, I'm getting ready to take this step. Okay. What do the five godliest people that you know say about that step? Oh, well, I really, I don't want to ask.
Well, isn't it interesting that as you and I think back to our childhood, there were a lot of things that we did not want to ask our parents. Why? We already knew the answer. I don't have to hear it. I already know the answer to that. Mom, Dad, can I go to this? No sense in asking. I know it's not going to happen. I pray that every young person in our church has a godly set of parents or a godly parent that they can go to say, Mom, Dad, what do you think? Please give me counsel. I pray that as a pastor that I'm a faithful counselor and that I will tell you exactly what the Word of God says. Now, there may be things that you come to me and I've never seen in the ministry before, and so I have to say, I need to ask other people for help in this counseling area. Perhaps you can go to Mr. Bradford, perhaps as a young person in the teen department. You go to Pastor Kyle and you can say to him, hey, what do you think? This is the wonderful thing. When you take any of these normal life decisions, these normal occurrences, and you face them, you have the choice. Poor counsel, counsel that was once trusted, or counsel that can be trusted today. Boy, if I choose a multitude of counselors and ask them, the Bible says that there's safety, there's a protection, there's a great benefit for me to listen to people that have walked before me. I've said to you on many occasions, my dad is far smarter today than he was when I was a kid. The truth is, I don't think he's any smarter today than when he was a kid. It's just that I realize how much smarts my dad had actually in guiding my life and directing me. I just didn't want to hear it. Boy, my dad and mom are smart. If I would have listened to them every step of the way in my upbringing and done everything that they would have desired for my life, I would have saved myself a lot of trouble. But here's what I did. I thought, you know what? My parents, they don't even know how to work a cassette tape. They don't even know how to play an Atari game. That's what I said in my day. Pastor Jack and I were talking the other day about cell phones and how grandparents can take a cell phone, a smartphone, and hand it to their four-year-old grandchild, and the four-year-old grandchild is scoping through everything and showing granddad and grandmom, here's how to use it. You know? Boy, as I moved to a different stage of life, I realized, boy, I was blessed with some great counselors. I was blessed with the great opportunity to seek out counsel. Now, why didn't I? I didn't because I didn't want to hear what they were going to tell me because I ultimately didn't want to walk in the path that they were telling me to walk in. Verse number 1 and 2, it reveals a normal occurrence. An individual passes away. He sends these individuals, and he does this because he wants to show how much he appreciated that man and the kingdom and now his son taking over. That individual takes those circumstances in life and it leads him to counsel, but he does not get trusted counsel. Here's number 3. The counsel of life leads to choices. So the circumstances of life lead to counsel. The counsel of life now leads to choices. What's the king going to do? Look at what his response is, verse number 4. This is how he responds. Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown and then return. David is a powerful king at this time. Israel is expanding. If you know anything about the previous chapters, you know that every enemy that's come against David has been overrun. David's been victorious because God is with him. Here is the response. Circumstances of life lead to counsel. Counsel leads to choices. He's listening to what these guys are saying. These guys are saying, David's got a motivation here. David's got you on the phone because he wants to do something against you. He wants to rob you of something. He's not sending these people to be emissaries for the nation of Israel and to bring blessings in the funeral services. He's got a motivation behind this, and the king's got a choice to be made. Am I going to listen to these guys or not? Well, I could begin to run down name after name after name after name after name. Young people that were asked to get in an automobile on a Friday night. And the young people that are already in the car beg someone else to come with them. And then everything else on that Friday night goes south. And time and again, that individual's faced the loss of life. Counsel comes, and now a choice has to be made. Young people, adults, parents, grandparents, listen to me tonight. Please have your radar up for poor counselors. And be smart enough, as I almost was deceived on Thursday morning, and they almost took me down a path of a fraudulent response. Be smart enough to say, you know what, this doesn't measure up. Oh, but Pastor, everyone in the school is doing it. If I don't do it, I'll be the only one. I'll be the oddball. I'll be the one that's just a castaway and a cast out. If my parents don't let me participate in this, I'll just be the only one. Listen, watch. Who's giving you counsel? And the choice that they want you to make based upon that counsel. Pastor, my parents don't know Christ. Okay, there's still a half a dozen other people that I could direct you to. Pastor, I'm not so sure if I want you to know all that I'm facing. Okay, no problem. I'll give you a half a dozen names. I'll give you names of people that aren't here in the local area, and you can call and get counsel from them. But I know that they're going to tell you the truth according to the Scriptures. Circumstances of life so often lead me to seek counsel. I better be alert to what kind of counsel this is, because it's going to lead me to a choice. And the choice that this king made was to humiliate each of these men and to send them back to the nation of Israel, beard shaved, disrobed, moving back in shame, and they come back to David. Okay, I see how it is. I see how it is. The circumstances of life lead me to get counsel. The counsel of that life leads me to choices. Good counsel will bring about wise choices. Genesis chapter 41, the Pharaoh says, I've had this dream. We're going to have 7 abundant years. We're going to have 7 lean years. And he has enough wisdom to say, as the Pharaoh, I'm not going to be able to monitor the success of the 7 good years and the 7 lean years. I need to seek out a man. And the Bible says he sought out Joseph. Joseph, a wise counselor, gets not only the land of Egypt through those years, but they also benefited so many nations around them because of the great counsel of David. Circumstances in life lead me to choices. Those choices then have consequences. If everyone in your inner circle that knows Christ as their Savior, that is walking with the Lord, is saying to you, that's a bad idea, and you go through every single one of those warning signs and every single one of those billboards and every single one of those signs that says the bridge is out, you can't look back and say, well, I didn't have anything to do with this. So many times parents have put up fences to try to protect their kids. Youth departments have put up fences to try to protect the kids. Churches put up fences to try to protect the kids. Christian schools put up fences to try to protect the kids. Colleges put up fences to try to protect the kids. And kids still jump the fence. Well, you know what? Circumstances of life bring about counsel. Depending upon what kind of counsel you get, is going to likely determine the choice that you make. Hey, come on. Just take one sip. Come on. Just take one puff. Come on, man. It's not going to hurt you. Come on. Just do it this one time. See if you like it. I mean, if you don't even try it one time, you won't even know if you like it. The circumstances of life bring about counsel. That counsel, depending upon what it is, will so often determine the choice that you make. And this guy made a poor choice based upon his counsel. His counselor said, this bunch is here because they're scoping out the land, because they're going to overwhelm us. And he didn't take any time to, but that he humiliated the servants of David. Oh my goodness. Good counsel leads to wise choices. Poor counsel leads to poor choices. 1 Kings chapter 12, there's a great story there about poor choices. Rehoboam becomes king after Solomon. He has the opportunity to unify the kingdom and to continue to lead the United Kingdom. And he makes a poor choice. The kingdom divides. Wise counsel leads to wise choices. Poor counsel leads to poor choices. And here's number four. The choices of life lead to consequences. Opening verses. Pretty standard issue for every one of us. Someone passes away. David just wants to express kindness. The king's son listens to poor counsel, and he humiliates these individuals that are sent as an extension of David. Oh my. As a result of this, and again, we won't take time to read the lengthy portion of it, but here's what happens. Ammon unites with Syria, and they're united against King David and the Israelites. And I want you to look down at verse number 18. Here's the consequences. Here's verse number 18. The Syrians fled before Israel. Look at this. And David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shabak, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. Listen to this carefully. There are circumstances in life. Those circumstances in life so often lead us to counsel. That counsel will lead us to choices. And those choices will bring about consequences. This is a fact. Every single person sitting before me has the opportunity to make their choices, but we do not get to choose our consequences. Do you see the ramifications of this entire matter? Tens of thousands of individuals lost their lives because the son of the king that had passed away didn't simply do this. Hey, guys. Thank you for coming to the service today. Did King David send you? Why, yes, he did. Would you please go back and tell King David how much I appreciate him and his kindness and deep respect for my dad? Does the rest of this chapter occur? No, it doesn't. David didn't have ill will against this guy. He didn't have any intentions of going against Ammon, of wiping out the Syrians. He didn't have any intentions. And in the passage it says the Syrians said, we're not yoking up with them ever again. Yeah, I should say. When an individual does not listen to the right counsel, they make a wrong choice. Listen to me carefully. There are consequences. And here's the sad part. Those consequences are not limited to that one individual.
In our story, this decision had consequences upon tens of thousands of people. Joshua chapter 7, Achan made a poor choice. Achan had consequences. Those consequences were not solely on Achan, were they? The Bible says the consequences were on his entire family. Let me speak to each individual group right now. Dad, husband, there are consequences for every choice that you make. Mom, wife, there are consequences for every choice that you make. Teenagers, there are consequences for every choice that you make. Young adults, there are consequences for every choice that you make. Wow. You know, if there are consequences for every choice that I make, then I want to do my best to make wise choices so that I can receive beneficial consequences. Opening part of the chapter. Something happens in life, happens to all of us. I do not know what you would write on your sheet tonight about the things that you're facing right now, but no doubt everyone has something that they're having to decide about tonight. Where are you going to go for your counsel? Well, I got a group of 17-year-olds and they all seem pretty smart. They know how to work a DVD player, you know. And that's kind of how we make our decisions. I've got a bunch of peers, and I'm going to ask all of them what they think. Hey, Fred, do you think it's a good idea for me to jump off this cliff into the water? Pretty high up. A lot of rocks below. I don't think it's a good idea. Okay, I won't. Might just have saved that guy's life. Say, I'm going to go and ask all my peers what they think about something. No, the best thing you can do is to seek out godly counselors and to see if those counselors will all line up. And they'll help you in making the choice with this understanding. Those choices will bring about consequences. Everyone tonight gets to make their own choices. Not me, Pastor. I'm 7 years old. I don't get to make any of my own choices. It's so hard being me. Well, you know what? Your parents are probably making good choices on your behalf right now, okay? Other than the broccoli without cheese, that's pretty tough. I understand. I can feel for you there, all right? If they would have given me broccoli originally doused with cheese, I probably would have liked it earlier in life. They didn't do that, but, you know, Mom and Dad were seeking to make good choices for me. What will you do with a counselor? Will you seek out and say, you know what? I don't know what I should do in this matter. The king didn't know what to do in the matter. His surrounding counselors said, this guy's got evil intent. And they led him to war. And David ran roughshod through them all. Every bit of the chapter could have been totally different if he would have just sought out counsel and made a different choice. Let's pray. Father, all of us have these circumstances of life. There's not one person sitting before me that doesn't have something that's on the deck for them right now. Each one of these circumstances in life lead me to counsel. What kind of counsel will I choose? There's poor counsel. That's definitely available. There's trusted counsel that was once there, but now it's very suspect, and so I need to be very alert to the nature of the decisions that that type of counsel would give. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to seek out trusted counselors and to seek a unity amongst the trusted counselors, because we're about to make choices. And with each of those choices, there are going to come consequences. and we must have your mind. And to the best of our ability, we pray for your counsel to be given through human advisors. In the quietness of this moment, I don't know all that's on the deck for each person, but I know this, we have much that we stand in need of wisdom for. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. You want to show us the right path. You certainly want us to have the right outcome and the right consequences. Perhaps there have been individuals that are sitting before me that are listening via live stream, and they would say, you know what, there have been choices of my past that were not good choices, and I'm still experiencing the consequences from those things. I cannot easily distance myself from the consequences, but I can, from this day forward, make different choices. There's forgiveness at the cross of Calvary. Any individual sitting before me, any individual listening to the sound of my voice can say, dear Lord, please forgive me for what I've done in the past and help me to make better choices from this day forward. In many cases, this comes down to a matter of humility because we need to humble ourselves and actually close our mouths and listen to counsel, even the counsel that we may not like. Everyday circumstances lead us to counsel. The counsel leads us to choices. The choices lead us to consequences. May we recall the circumstances of chapter 10 again and again to our mind. Would you work in this time of invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight? I believe it's appropriate for us to have a time of invitation and to just commit things unto the Lord. Perhaps you're praying about a matter that needs counsel. Perhaps you're praying about an area of counsel that you're seeking to give to somebody else. And you just take this before the Lord tonight. We all have circumstances of life. We all have matters to take before the Lord. All of these matters will result in consequences, and I need God's direction. As the hymn of invitation is played tonight, would you please take time to pray and to seek God's face for the counsel that you so desperately need? I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to play number 511, Nearer Still Nearer. This is the key. I want to be near to the throne of God. I want to be near to His heart. I want to make choices that are in line with His will for my life. Young people, you need counsel tonight. You have two parents that know Christ as their Savior. Why don't you go to them and just ask them, say, Mom, Dad, what do you think about this? Your parents are a lot smarter than you think. Why don't you just go to them tonight and get home. Brothers and sisters, head to bed. Mom, Dad, can I talk to you? I'm thinking about acquiring or establishing a close friendship with this person. I'm thinking about taking this path. Mom, Dad, what do you think? Take advantage of that mom and dad that walk with the Lord, that know the truth. I remember how many times mom and dad wanted to give me great counsel, but I either closed my ears to the counsel or I reared up in defiance and said, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. I tell you what, 9.9 times out of 10, my parents would have been right in my decisions if I would have listened. Young adults, what do you have on your deck? College, spouse, career? Well, I'd seek out a multitude of counselors in these things. Adults, what's on your deck? Seek out a multitude of counselors. Lord, thank you for our time together tonight. I pray that you'd bring this chapter back to our thoughts and I pray that this has been a help for each one. Oh, maybe we're digging out of consequences. And it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. This is the wonderful truth of the Word of God. God always gives hope. There's a light at the end of the tunnel if I will do right. Oh, it's not an overnight thing. But boy, I tell you what, just following Jesus Christ day by day will eventually result in the wonderful consequences of His loving leadership. Would you help our folks tonight, whatever they might have in their circumstances of life, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so very much for being in service.